If you got your Bibles or your phone or whatever you're dealing with tonight, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1, I want to talk to you about praying for the saints. Amen. Praying for the saints, but specifically for praying for one another. And you know, the Bible, here's what, if you're filled with the Spirit, we have this great tool. And it talks about when you don't know how to pray like you should, the Holy Spirit will pray through you or with you or in you, right? But what we're not going to be talking necessarily about that. But there's another side of the Spirit of God praying with us. And we're going to see that. And especially praying for one another. But if you'll turn to verse 15. And listen to this. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, therefore, after I heard your love for the Lord and all the saints, therefore, after, and the therefore is there because of everything that he said previous to this. In other words, you're redeemed, you're accepted, you know, you're part of the beloved, you're, you know, that he's taken away all of your sins and all of that. Therefore, because of that, because that's your position, I'm going to begin to pray for you in a certain way. In other words, he's not praying for lost people.
That's right.
Again, Josh, I think this could come down just a little bit more. He's not praying for lost people. He's praying for believers.
That's right. Amen.
Right? He's praying for believers. So we're going to see here in a few minutes just how that interacts with us. And this is so good. But I'm going to read the whole prayer, and then we're going to go back and talk about it a little more. But listen to this prayer now. He says this. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding power of his exceeding power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So there's some positional things here that we want to go over and talk about. But look at this, is so cool. Go back up to verse 16. And it says this. It says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of him. First of all, he's praying, and this is a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's saying that God would give you something. Our Father would give us something. Our Father would give us something. And Josh, if you'll put up Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at this. This goes so in line with what Jesus said. And he said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Come on. Look at, here's what he's saying. Paul's saying it. Jesus said it. Our Father, we want your will and to know your will on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Right? And we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1 because I want to tie this in. It's so good. It's so good. again, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. That He would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into Him. Now, there's the twofold things, and some translators have it different. Where it says spirit here, many translations is a small s, but there's some translations that it's a large S or a capital S. And what's the difference between the two? When it's capitalized, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? So I think it has to do with Spirit in us, but it also has to do with the Holy Spirit tied in to what He's about to pray. So in other words, that He would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
He wants you to know Him. That should be shouting ground right there.
Amen.
God really wants me to know Him?
Yes.
I got saved because somebody said that God spoke to them, and I said, God, if that's possible, could you speak to me?
Amen.
Right? And I'm not saying that I've ever heard an audible voice. I've never heard it. But I know that God has spoken to me.
Amen.
Right? And even operating in His gifts, right? It's even more clear when God gives you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody, and all of a sudden you're saying something to them that said nobody else knew. How did you know that? Right? It's because of the Spirit of God on the inside of me. So watch this again. It's so good. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Now I want to read these terms. I've got some definitions for three different terms in here. The spirit of wisdom. Now, wisdom is the broad and full intelligence, skillful in the affairs of life, sound judgment and good sense, natural and moral insights, deep understanding. Watch this. The ability to regulate one's relationship with God. He would give you the spirit, watch this, the spirit of broad and full intelligence. In other words, He would give you a spirit so that you would know with your mind what to think and how to think. And along with that, there would be moral character. There would be things on the inside that you would know. He's giving you the spirit of wisdom so that you can know what God thinks. You can know what God thinks. I can know what God thinks. We're praying for one another. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm praying for Donnie, and I just pray, God, that You would fill her with wisdom so that it would come to her mind, Your thoughts, Your word, so that she will know what to do.
Amen.
Right? So we're praying for one another for wisdom. And watch this. And into the revelation, watch this, revelation means to uncover, to disclose. Things seen in interpretation, unfolding the things of God. So we're asking for God to give to our mind a revelation of things that were hidden before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And sometimes we go, whoo, you know, that's somehow out. No. What I'm saying is, God, I want You to reveal Yourself to me. I want to know some things about You and about me that wasn't there before. Right? I want this so much, Lord. I want this so much. I got to tell you, I had the cataract surgery and all of that. I'm getting used to the glasses and how to read things. And, you know, these are reading glasses and they're not helping that much. But watch this. Now watch this. Watch this. Knowledge. To recognize more intense knowledge because it expresses, watch this, a more thorough participation in the part of the learner. We're going to go back to Revelation and all that, but I wanted to get to this part. That he's praying that the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God. In other words, what he's saying, I want the spirit of God to cooperate with your spirit. So he's saying, watch, I want God to come in, but also, I'm going to say it this way. In this prayer is, there's a hookup. God does his part, but I'm also praying that you'll do your part. That you'll get off of your duff, right? And I say it this way sometimes, I probably shouldn't, but the Spirit of God would kick you in the butt so that your hunger for Him would grow, right? So a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him, it takes a twofold part. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just be in a meeting and all of a sudden, whoo, I know everything. Right? I mean, God just showed me everything and it's perfect. But watch this. That would be all on Him and none on you. Have you ever noticed that if you give something to somebody and they've done nothing to earn it? Now, I'm not talking about grace, but I'm just talking, you give a kid anything they want. And they don't appreciate it. I had a friend growing up in high school. Well, he was kind of an acquaintance. But his dad was a doctor, a very rich doctor. So when he turned 16, he gave him a brand new 1968 Dodge Charger RT. Well, he totaled that. You know, went up to 160 miles an hour, and he totaled that one. So his dad said, well, let's get you a 1969 Camaro. Yeah. You know, SS, I mean, the it's like, wait a minute. You see, if we don't have a part in the gathering of information, we don't absolutely let it be a part of who we are. You see, it doesn't become our identity. And so when you're seeking after God, he said, seek me and you'll find me. Well, he's not hard to find, right? But you have to seek him. And then it says, in other places, it says, seek me with all of your heart. So this prayer is not just about God dumping something on us. But it's about us getting an attitude or a spirit of hunger, right? So that we'll be looking for our mind to understand the very unfolding of the mystery of God for our lives. Is that something? So when we're praying for one another, we want to do that. We want to pray. Now watch this. Again, the spirit of wisdom is the ability to regulate one's relationship with God. I want to look at a couple of different verses. If you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. So what am I saying? When we're talking about the wisdom that we want from God, I don't want just a natural wisdom. I want to know God's wisdom. I don't want to come back from the point of not understanding what God is saying and how He's operating. How many know that God thinks different than man does? In fact, Paul said it this way. He said, I don't come preaching from a place of man's wisdom, But I come strictly from the place of hearing God and giving that revelation. Look at chapter 2. And chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In other words, we want God's operating instructions coming from His Spirit through our spirit to our mind so that we can know what to do according to His plan. Because I don't necessarily want man's plan for what God has for me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've been to church growth seminars, and I've been to leadership conferences, and all of that is good. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But watch this. What I really want is I want to know what God wants me to say tonight. I want to know what God wants me to do Sunday. I want to know what God wants me to do tomorrow morning when I wake up. See, so when we're praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God, what we're really praying is for God to unfold His plan, not only for us, but for the world and for those that we're praying for. Amen? So praying for God's saints, praying for them. Look at this. Go to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. And this is talking about Jesus. When He'd come to His own country, He taught them in their synagogues so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" See, in the prayer of Ephesians in chapter 1, I believe that he's saying, I want you to get so full of God and His wisdom that His power can be displayed through you to the lost and the dying world. So that they'll come to you and they'll say, he's not that smart. Or she's not. I knew her when she was a little girl. I know when they made mistakes. I know what they did. I know I've heard them yell at each other. But yet God seems to be working in them and through them. Right? And so again, a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God so that we can operate in it. Yeah. Right? Not just, watch this, not just I need a PhD, nothing wrong with a PhD. I need all of these, know all of the terms, and I need to know all of that. And there's nothing wrong with higher education, theology. I love it all. But the reality is in this prayer, what he's saying is, I want you to get in touch with God so that you can know God and that you in your thinking can get more in line with where He is. And I think about this too. I've even heard people say things like this. I'm not going to mention this name, but he was a radio guy. And another guy called into his show and was asking him a question, and he referenced another minister. I don't know, I'm giving another because I really don't want to get into the names. But he said, "Well, you know, that man is an evangelist. He's not really a theologian." What he was saying is that his education level wasn't enough to bring him up to the intellectual place where he could really be authoritative with God. And see, there's a place for being, you know, a PhD in theology. I have no problem with that. But if you get away from the fact that there's a place in God and in your relationship with God where He wants to reveal Himself to you, and it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what education you've had, all that matters is that you're His child. that you've been redeemed, that you've been accepted, right? Now watch, because, and here's the picture that I get. I've read after, and again, these aren't quotes or anything, but I've read after Abraham Lincoln's upbringing. And there's stories of him in that little dirt floor one-room cabin with his mom, who had no education at all, but enough education that she had a candle and was reading her Bible.
Amen.
Reading her Bible.
Yeah.
Not much education, reading her Bible.
Yeah.
And her reading her Bible was such an example to Abraham Lincoln that it influenced him the rest of his life. So what am I saying? I'm saying this, that our time with God in this process of gaining wisdom, right, is important not just for us, but for others. I don't want to have knowledge of God. I want to know God. I want to know God. And here's Paul. Now watch this, very interesting. Paul's writing this letter. This is the one that after he got saved, he got knocked off his donkey, right? And he was blind for a few days and had to be led in, and another man who was scared of him prayed for him and received his sight. And he started to minister in the gospel, but his first campaigns were not really good because it got him beat up and thrown out of the city. But it said that he went away and he went to out into the desert with the scrolls. And the commentaries that I've read, it's about 3 years going through all the Old Testament scrolls, finding Jesus, finding the plan of salvation, finding faith, grace and faith and how it operated and how Jesus fulfilled all of that. And he got a revelation. What did he get? He got the spirit of wisdom, his mind filled with the uncovering of what God was wanting to do in the earth. So when Paul is praying this over the Ephesians, he's not praying a prayer with, oh God, bless them. I don't know what they need. He's praying, God, this has happened to me. And I want it to happen to them. Right? And so you are much more authoritative when you're praying out of, yes, knowledge, but also experience. In other words, my relationship with God is not just that I went to Bible school and that I've studied and I've read all of these books. My relationship with God is based on the fact that I talk to Him all the time. I walk with Him all the time. I ask for that spirit of wisdom, His spirit to come to my spirit, that connection. Lord, I want to know what You have. I want to know what You want for me. I want to know, God, what You want me to experience. Why? Well, because I love You and I just want it, but also so that when I'm praying over somebody, or I'm praying for somebody, or I can know that Your prayers that You put into my heart will be effective to change them. Right? Let's look at a couple other things. Revelation. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 11. It says, but I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when Paul is praying in Ephesians, he's praying that they have the same experience. In other words, like God has put teachers in the church, right? I'm teaching you tonight. There's nothing wrong with you listening and absorbing, but there's a completely different thing when you get alone in your prayer closet and you say, okay, God, I heard what he was saying, but I need you to reveal what you were saying through him or her, whoever, right? It's like, Lord, I heard, man, it was so good. I went to the service, or I heard this message. It was so, so good. And God, I need more than just to be able to recite what somebody else said. I want you to speak to me. No, watch this. It's happened many times where somebody, you know, read a book, hear somebody's testimony, and they'll go, well, bless God, I want that. Yeah. And they say, well, God's no respecter of person. If he did it for them, he'll do it for me. And they go off and do something and it doesn't work the same way. Why? It's because they didn't go through the process that it took the man who was giving the testimony to get the word to act on. I'll just give you an example. I can remember years ago being in a meeting and hearing a man who said, you know, I was praying, believing God, and I needed a new car, and I was praying, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me to give my car to somebody else. You know, he had a car, but it wasn't, you know, that nice a car. Give my car away. So he said, you know, I did it. And then 2 days later, God gave me a brand new car. People went, oh, bless God. I'm tired of this hunk of junk I'm driving. Right? So they were, by faith, going to go give away their car so that God was obligated to give them a new car. Right? And the reality is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to hear God for yourself tell you what to do. Right? And faith doesn't come by hearsay. It comes by hearing said. In other words, I need to hear from God myself and act on that. And that's how faith operates, right? So when he's praying in Ephesians chapter 1, he's saying, listen, I need you to get the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of God for you. For you. For you. I want you to know God. I'll just give you a couple more examples and think about. I was talking about this a couple Sundays ago. I've experienced the presence of God. I've experienced being saturated with the presence of God. And by the way, Sunday was amazing, right? Just amazing. The tangible weight of the glory of God was in the room Sunday. It was awesome. I've seen that. But talking about it with somebody else. Have you ever talked to somebody about something and you're excited about it, but they're just kind of rolling their eyes at it? Yeah. Right? You get that, and it's like you know that they've never experienced what you're talking about. They may understand it intellectually, but they haven't received the insight by the Spirit in their mind. I'll give you an example. I was down at Bible school, Rhema Bible Training. It's college now. It was the training center then. But I was down there, and I'd been away from home for a couple of months. And we lived in this I had a roommate. We lived in this upstairs apartment. Now, I'm from Oklahoma. I was green. I mean, I'm from Washington. I was green. We got down there in August, right? Oh, yeah, I found this apartment. Great, I'll come. We went and looked at it. Oh, this looks pretty good. It was an attic apartment with no air conditioning. For 2 months, literally 2 months, it never got below 95 in that apartment. Anyway, so that's just a side note. So I'm in there and I'm just reading the Word of God and I'm praying and just asking God for insight and all of that. Just really, and I come across this passage that in Matthew 7:11, where it says, "If you being evil know to how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask?" Now watch this. And then I started thinking about my own earthly father. And just impressions came to my mind of him going to work sick. Didn't matter. He had kids to feed, right? So he was going to work. And all of the sacrifices that he made, all those came back to me. And then it just struck me. I mean, like the Spirit of God was just speaking to me. That if he being evil would give good gifts to you, how much more? I love that part. How much more? I know my dad. I know what he did for us. I know what he would do for us. I know how he preferred us kids. He gave to his hurt for us kids. If he being evil, how much more? Man, I just got lost in that. God, it just upended any kind of wrong theology about, well, you know, God broke your leg to teach you something. No, my God, my dad would never do that to me. Right? And many other things. But here's the deal. I went out to the roommate that I had, and man, I was excited. I came out of the bedroom and went, "Listen to this, man. You got to hear this." I was so pumped. And I told it to him. And it was just like he went, "Huh? You know, yeah. You know, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the Bible. Yeah, that's right." See, he didn't have a spirit of wisdom, and it wasn't uncovered to him. And so therefore, he couldn't, out of an experiential position, know what God had showed me. And so when we're praying for one another and we're praying for people, it's like, "Lord, I need you to reveal to them what you've revealed to me." Right? Lord, and again, rather than going, "Why don't they just get in the presence of God?" I felt that before. Again, I'm up here, and sometimes the presence of God is real thick here, but it gets less and less as you go to the back. And why is that? Well, because there's some people in the back that are like this. Or they're going, you know, looking on their phone or are they going to sing another song? Because they don't get worship. They don't understand the process of getting into the presence of God. So again, a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. I need to participate in that. God, I want to know you, so I'm going to hook up with you. When I'm reading this Bible for myself, Lord, I don't want to learn the 10 steps to overcoming fear. I want to read that and understand that from the Bible, but I want to understand it from a revelation point, you giving it to me. And there's something about wisdom that knows what to do and how to operate it. Does that make sense? So, Father, I want Janine, I want Scott to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of you, so that they're not taking my secondhand information as hearsay and measuring themselves against what I do or don't do. I want them to have their own experience with God. A spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. And again, that knowledge, I love that to recognize more intense knowledge, because it expresses a more thorough participation on the part of the learner. In other words, I'm coming. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to know. I had a brother, and he was really mechanically, he was the type of kid that you'd give him like a transistor radio, and he'd tear it apart to see how it worked. Because he wanted to know more intently how it operated. There was one time he had this radio, and then he had an alarm clock. So he said, So he hooked up his alarm clock, wired it to the radio. This is before, you know, it wasn't a radio alarm. It was before that, but he figured all that, wired it up, and it was working in his, he got up to the radio. Right? But watch this. He wanted to figure out how it worked, why it worked, so that he could work it. So we're talking about a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge. I want to know God. I want to know how he thinks. I want to know what he thinks. I want to operate in that thinking. That's what we're praying for one another. Lord, I want that person that's sitting in the back scrolling on their phone because they don't have a clue that they're in the presence of God. I pray for them that somehow you'd get a hold of them so that they could experience what I know and you know.
Yeah.
Right. See, because I know the joy that's come out of my time in his presence. I've known the answers that I've gotten in his presence. I know how the Holy Spirit, you know, it's kind of like this. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Some people think, well, that's just weird. Well, I think you're weird. Because you don't. But the only reason that you do is because you don't have a spirit of revelation into what praying in the Holy Ghost actually is. And I have a little bit of that revelation. I don't have as much as I want to have, but I have a little bit because I've spent time praying in the Holy Ghost and I've seen the operation of it. It's just amazing to me. The more time I pray in the Holy Ghost, it seems like the more sensitive I am to the gifts of the Spirit. Right? It's because I'm pressing into it, pressing into it. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And this is right after God gave gifts to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, he's saying, look at even the gifts and the pastors and the prophets and all that God's brought to the body. The purpose of that is so that we all come to a place of maturity so that we're not deceived, so that we're walking in step, we're doing what he wants us to do. Right? So when we're praying for one another that the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge, it's because that's the basis. When you know God, when you really know God, then you won't be deceived. Thanks for your encouragement. But let me, again, I'll give an example of this. Back in around, I think it was around 82, 83, we were down in Southern California, associate pastors of a church, and the Olympics was coming, you know, to the LA area. In fact, in Mission Viejo, they ran the marathon, right? So we got out to see them. I think it was the bike portion of it. Anyway, There was an event that was happening right there. But there was this prophecy that came out. And back then, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have podcasts. This guy had printed off this like 4-page prophecy about how that there was going to be a terrible event that was going to happen at the Olympics, and at the opening games there was going to be a great earthquake and everybody was going to be swallowed up by it. And I mean, it was intense, and it was And so the pastor of the church that I was in, and he's a great man of God, good man of God, he came and he said, he gave me a copy of it. He said, "What do you think?" "I don't think much of it." He said, "What?" And he was a more mature man than me. And I said, "I don't think much of it." He said, "Why?" He said, "It's not God." He said, "What do you mean it's not God?" I said, "Well, it gives me no peace when I read it. I know it's not God." And he's going, "Really? Yeah, I know it's not God. Why? Because I'd experienced hearing God's voice through peace. And when deceit came, I had to check in my spirit that it was not God." So we're praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God. It's so that the foundational basis is we're going to build strong men and women, boys, girls, into people who can hear and know their God and not be drawn off by something else. Right? Spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God. All right, Josh, throw up Colossians 1:9. And again, this is prayer. He said this to the church at Colossae. He said, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding." Pray, watch that. We want you to know what God's will is. Have you ever heard this expression? "Well, you never know what the will of God is. You never know. Who can know?" You can know. But your knowing comes from that spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Your participation in getting to know Him is how you begin to learn how to do that. And it's my job to train you in that, but I can't do that for you. So I pray that you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Amen. That the eyes of your understanding would become enlightened. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. "For this reason also, since the day we heard it..." No, that's not the right one. Colossians 3:10, Josh. "And have," watch this, "and have put on the new man, who's renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." Yeah. "Who put on the new man," watch this, "who has the ability to recognize and more importantly, participates with the one who's teaching, so his learning goes to a different level." I put on the new man and the Holy Spirit's teaching me. And I'm going from glory to glory. He speaks to me all the time. And when I'm in His Word, I might not have an experience of euphoria or anything like that. But I have faith that He's teaching me. And He's giving me that spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 18. And I'm going to teach some more about this the next time I teach. But watch this. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I like that little word "being" in there. It doesn't say "has been enlightened." It doesn't say "is going to be enlightened." It says "being." In other words, this is a process that goes on and on and on, and which is exciting. You can know God more tomorrow than you did today. And next year you can have an expectation through your fellowship with God. And again, it's not about whether you're pastor or non-pastor. You're a believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God who's the teacher and the revealer of all truth on the inside of you. I pray that you have an expectation of this happening. But listen to this. The eyes in this context are the faculty of understanding. Being enlightened, understanding to open what was closed before. Open the ears of the heart. That the eyes of your understanding, and many translations are the eyes of your heart. Now, as we preached on for a month in January, right? What is the heart? The heart's made up of the soul and the spirit and the voice of the conscience, right? So when we say that the eyes of your heart, what we're saying is that your spirit man and your mind or your intellect or your process of thinking come together with an understanding of who God is. Yeah. So it's enlightened. It's like, boom. Now, I'm really old. But you remember the Ford commercials where the light bulb went off? Ford's got a better idea, whatever. That was lighting up. That's what I want when I'm praying for people. I want God to open them up so that they have a light bulb moment. Even watch this when we're praying for the lost. This is the way I pray. Father, I bind the spirit that is blinding their minds right now in Jesus' name. I'm praying, Lord, that you would send laborers across their path, that they could fully see and comprehend their need for you. And then, Father, that they would make a decision based on that insight. Yeah. Right? Not trying to manipulate them, but giving them a true choice. Amen. So what am I saying tonight? How do I want to wrap this up? Well, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus said it this way. He said, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." So when we're praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him, what He's saying is, I want you to have ears to hear. Tonight, I want you to have an expectation the next time you read your Bible and you say, Holy Spirit, I'm available, I'm pressing in, I'm asking you to give me that spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God. I want to know you, I want to know your will. And then have an expectation that whether you have an experience as euphoric or whatever, know that He's answering that prayer. He's answering that prayer. I might not, you know, I'm sure none of you are as carnal as I am, but I've read the Bible and read chapter after chapter and go, right? You know, some of those Chronicles, this one begat that one that begat that one, you know, I mean, just, you know, it's kind of like, but here's what I believe. I believe that every one of those verses are impregnated with the power of God. And so whether I am thinking that I'm getting anything, I'm believing that I'm receiving that supernatural wisdom, right? And gaining that revelation or the uncovering of what God is trying to say, right? So that I can have a working knowledge that I'm participating with God and He's participating with me, so that not only is it in my spirit, but now it's in my mind and I can do something with it. Amen. Did y'all get something tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you all for joining us online. We just appreciate you tuning in. I pray that you would just reach out to God and say, God, I'm going to read my Bible completely different than I've ever read it before. I'm going to begin to have just this sense or expectation that the Spirit of God will cooperate with me as I dig into the Word, and that you'll reveal yourself to me in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.